We're actually going to have you turn, if you have your Bibles with you, but you know me, I'm going to put them up on the screen as well. But I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church and get familiar with finding the Scriptures. That's how I learned myself and still learning, to be honest with you. But 2 Chronicles chapter 14, Psalms 133, and Philippians 2. And on the back of your bulletin, you can take notes, and I've actually listed, Patricia listed out the Scriptures that we're going to, the main ones that we're going to look at today. And we've been kind of in a little series called Fortify Your Borders, and really it's if you haven't been here, that's okay, or haven't heard the other ones, it's all right, because these are all standalone messages. Some series build upon each other, but this has been one that I didn't do that with. This was just some standalone messages with something I feel like the Lord has been speaking to me, and I'll show you the passage that it came out of is in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 here in just a second. But, you know, before going to bed at our place, at our house, there's some things that we do to secure our borders or to fortify our borders. And Jada always, even last night, she reminded me, are the doors locked? Are the alarms set? And have we prayed? You know, we have to pray before we close our eyes. And she's been on me because we have a screen door that needed fixed. Well, the screen door got fixed finally. How many of you guys know about honeydews? Yeah. Well, I've been putting this off, but it was bothering her because we weren't locking the screen door at night. Okay, so people, you know, something could happen. And so I took care of that the other day and secured the borders, fortified the borders. So all is well at the house now. It's all peaceful and quiet, and she feels secure. And I do too, even though I have a gun as well. So, yes, I said that for everybody to hear. I make joke of that because I hope that I can add a little humor to this, because this is a strong word today. I feel that the Lord's put this upon my heart. All of God's word is strong, by the way. But I feel very. I was telling Jay this morning on the way to weigh here, is this is almost, I feel like this is going to be the most important message I even share in 2020. Now, I know every time I get up here and share the gospel, that's the day of salvation. That's the most important time. But this message today, with everything that's going on in our world, our society, our culture, our nation, I just feel like this is a very important message that we all need to take heed to. And as a pastor, I feel like this word is guarding the flock and guarding us and guarding our minds and our hearts, because there's a spirit at work in our nation, and it's not flesh and blood, it's a spirit. And I'm going to get to that here in just a second. But I want you to, if you're in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, this is the passage where this word fortify came out to me. It says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. So he's getting rid of all the false gods in the kingdom. It says he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. We know out of the tribe of Judah is where Jesus came. So he's commanding them to do what's right, in to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He had no idea when he was doing all this that he was paving the way for Jesus to come. Okay, in verse 5 it says, he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him, and he built fortified cities. That's where that fortify your borders comes from. In Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before. And I'm sorry, you're not even reading along with me. I got to get better at my clicker. All right, there's that what I just read. And then us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. All right, so this is what the word fortify means. It means to strengthen with defensive work so as to protect it against attack. That's what the word fortify means. And in King Asa's fortification results in 2 Chronicles 14, what I just read, if we go back through there and highlight these words, this is when he fortified the kingdom, this is what happened. quietness, rest, no war, peace, and prosperity due to fortifying his borders. Now, here's the deal. If you do that at your home, in your marriage, your relationships, in your family, in your business, if you fortify your borders like that and put God number one, those are the blessings that you're going to receive. And that's a good place to say amen. Amen, that's what we're going to receive. So in the Bible, when you study in the Old Testament, a fortified city, we don't see those today very much, but in the Bible, a fortified city was considered a blessing, a place of security and strength, and something to be desired. That's where you'd want your family to live in the Old Testament times. And so we too should desire the blessings of fortified walls around every area of our lives, our health, our finances, our family, and our faith. You know, one example is what I just read about babes. Jada's been doing the babes. We're starting the second session of it. Because she's at home cooking and is on babes, I'm a recipient of it. So I'm doing dudes. Babes and dudes. And I'm honest, in fortifying, we've been eating healthier, walking, doing things. I'm down 25 pounds. I know you can't tell it, but I'm down 25 pounds. I got more to go. But I realized, and I know some of you that are young in here, you're just going, I don't care. All right, well, when you get fitty, you start thinking about fortifying your health. And in the body, you know, it's like last night, I mowed the yard last night, and I came in, and I just sat down just to eat dinner. And when I got up, I could feel it all over my body. You know, it's like rigor mortis set in, you know. And Jada saw me get up, and I was walking to, and she goes, you better take some Aleve before you go to bed, you know. And so fortify your health, you know, all that. Fortify your finances, your family, and your faith. It all goes together. And when we're doing that, and we do that in our lives, when you fortify those things, you're going to have quietness, you're going to have rest, you're going to have no war, you're going to have peace, and you're going to have prosperity. And that's what we all want. Amen? So the title of today's message is because just like the screen door, just using that as an example, that was one little door on our house. There's three total doors. That one little door could cause something to happen, right, because it's not locked. And so because the devil, and I want to take this spiritually, the devil is roaming around like a lion, the scripture says, looking for the tiniest breach of any point of entry into your life. And so that's why we have to fortify our borders. Now, I don't want you to live in fear. We're to live by faith, not live in fear. But there's things that we can do to fortify our borders. And so the title of this message today, if I was going to put a title on it, even though this is a series, Fortify Your Borders, is United We Stand. So I look at somebody and say, United We Stand. United We Stand. All right. I know that we all know, if most of us do, I'm sure, and those watching, what all is going on in our nation. The division, that word division, it's from the government to all the way down, it's trickling down to the races. It's everywhere. And Friday, I know when the Lord speaks to me, and I told Jada, I said, the Lord spoke a word to me, and just one word, and basically was encouraging me to pray over our nation, pray for our president, pray for everybody in government, pray for our nation, pray for the races, all the stuff, the riots and everything that's going on. And the word that he gave me was there has been a break in the spirit. And then he said a B-R-A-K-E and a B-R-E-A-K break, two different kinds of breaks, both kind of breaks. And what he was sharing with me is that, and he took me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, is that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And what's going on in our nation is grieving the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's grieving. And he wasn't necessarily, I didn't feel like, I mean, there wasn't anything going on with Jade and I or in our church or anything like that. I felt like this was a national word, like there's been this break and we need to stop it in the name of Jesus. And how we stop it is through prayer, but there's also things that we can do as believers to walk it out, because you're going to come in contact with people in your circle of influence that I'm not going to come in contact with. But there is what is going on in our nation right now is there is a, remove all stuff, okay, remove faces from your, you know, because we've all been bombarded with media and everything. This is a spiritual battle. And what's going on is there is a spirit of division at work. And so what God was showing me as a pastor, because he's called me to be a pastor in the body of Christ, and so my word today is I'm going to be talking a lot about the church, but you can apply this to your marriage, you can apply this to your family, you can apply this to your business, you can also apply this to the nation, everything that's going to be shared today. But he's showing me that this spirit of division is, there's this breaking going on, B-R-A-K-E, this break, like stopping the move of God in our nation, also this break of the grieving the Holy Spirit. But this spirit of division, what the Lord began to show me was, yes, it's at a national level, and it's trickling down from our government into the races, and it's not a presidential issue, by the way. Okay, it's not a Republican or Democratic issue. It's a heart issue that's going on, and it's just trickling down. And he said, Mark, I need you to take my word and break this spirit in the name of Jesus, and that this spirit of division, because, and every one of you in here don't realize this, but we are all being bombarded with this on media, social media, even hearing it from people you work with and different stuff, and it's a mindset that starts getting into you, and it's a divisive mindset that starts getting into you, and it can come into your home, divide your marriage. It can come into our church and divide the church. And so I told Jay, I was like, I don't want this to scare anybody, but I feel like God's saying, let's put up some borders, fortify your borders, and let's not let this spirit get in the name of Jesus. Because we're all hearing it, and it's all affecting our mindsets, but do not let it get into your marriage. Don't let it get into your family. Don't let it get into your kids. Let's stop this in the name of Jesus. And so we have the authority to do that in the name of Jesus. And I want to say this along with this, because you're going to have to develop this mindset, because we're all hearing, you know, you need to pick sides, you need to choose sides, you need to choose this, you need to choose this, you need to be a Republican, you need to be a Democrat. Yeah, I'm going to get a little political today. How about this? Let's be Americans. Amen? All right, here's the other thing is, I'm going to take it into the church, is you need to be, and I'm not knocking, we got great churches in our community, so I don't want you to say what Pastor Mark talked about, the Methodist church there, the Southern Baptist church, the First Baptist church, but we got people doing this. I'm a Nazarene, I'm a Methodist, I'm a First Baptist, I'm a Baptist, and how about this, we're Christians, amen? We're all going to the same place, let's get on the same team, and We've got to do this, guys. And I know I've got a pulpit today, and I'm sharing this to you guys. But what I feel like every one of you in here, like Luke over here, you know, college age, you're around people that I'm not around. So you're going to be able to speak into people's lives that I won't be able to speak. So this is a mindset that we've got to get going in our nation, and it starts at our homes, starts in our marriage and our families. And so we're all Americans and Christians here today. Amen. All right, now I want us to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, that I have felt the effects of that spirit of division, trying to tell me, choose sides, do this, you know, and feeling it coming, and I don't want it coming into the church, and I'm stopping it in the name of Jesus. All right, Psalms 133. I want to share with you this passage of Scripture, because there's four blessings from unity. And out of this passage, and this is a powerful word out of Psalms 133, it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." All right, there's four blessings that it shares in this passage of Scripture, from people dwelling in unity, when God has his hand upon, like he did, with Judah. The hand was there, get the hand of God. The hand of God was his blessing, and it just flows down. First of all, if you've ever been in unity in your marriage, how good and pleasant it is when you're in unity. Amen? Has anybody in here ever been in disunity in your marriage? Don't lie, we're in church. And you're like, oh my gosh, we got to get back in unity in a hurry, because if we stay like this, it's not good. The Bible even teaches that, that you need to quickly get back into agreement. Jade and I, early on in ministry, I realized, I'm going to confess the confessions of a pastor today. I have preached sometimes when her and I were in disunity, and it don't flow as well. I'm being honest with you today. But so I had to tell Jada, no matter what, before I ever minister God's word, you and I got to be on the same page, honey. Or I don't need to be preaching that day because it's not going to help anybody else. And because there's that break in the spirit. So it's good and pleasant when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. That's the first blessing, how good and pleasant it is. The second is, it is like the precious oil. Everybody say precious oil. On the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. We don't understand this, but in the Old Testament, I hope you'd understand this, this was the anointing oil that was put upon the head of Aaron, who was the first high priest, and it went down his head, into his beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit is what that represents. So when you have unity, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you don't have unity, you don't have the anointing. I want the anointing. I'll fight for it. I want the anointing. For example, here in our church, I've had many people, just guess. I've had people, I'm thinking about a family that came here from Colorado one time passing through. They've come here to church several times. They're friends with some people that are in our church. And they tell us every time, and it blesses me, They say, I feel God's presence here. I'll never forget Tanya, the first time she came, and I'm going to try to say it how Tanya says. She goes, I feel God. I don't know if that's it. I'm trying to get her accent down. And I was like, that so blessed me because that's been our prayer. Has nothing to do with this building. Has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the people that are in it and the presence of God that's upon us. Amen, as a people. And so that just blesses me. And I've had, over the 20 years that we've been here, I've had several people tell us that. And I'm like, God, keep your spirit here. Keep your anointing here. I want people, that's the number one thing when people come in here. I want them to feel you and in that tangible way. And then in verse 3, it says, it is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And to understand, the mountain of Hermon is a snow-capped mountain, and it's talking about the dew running down it, and it feeds into the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee, and that says also it falls on the mountains of Zion, and that's talking about that's a dry region in Israel, and so it's saying whenever there's unity, even if there's some dry spots, they're going to be affected by it. And it's going to become refreshing to those dry spots. Everybody get that? Catch that? I'm trying to explain all this because this is written in the Middle East and Eastern culture. And it says the third blessing is the blessing. It says, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. And that is, and I'm going to tell you what that is Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The blessing that I read over you guys every Sunday before we dismiss. Of course, I read at an extended version that I found that I really like of that blessing. And that was what God told Aaron, said, Aaron, when as the high priest, when you speak that blessing over my people and they're in unity and one accord, I'm going to put my name on them. I don't know about you, but I want God's name on me all the time. And so that he said that's the power of that. And then life forevermore. That's the fourth one, the fourth blessing. Life forevermore. When you study that in the Hebrew, it gives the connotation of joy and celebration. God wants you to enjoy your life. Amen. He wants you to celebrate life, enjoy living, having a good time with your spouse and with your family. And so when you're in unity, that's what happens. You have your, it's good and it's pleasant. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. You have God's blessing upon you. And you have life forevermore. That's the power of unity. Look at somebody and say, that's a power of unity. That's awesome. All right. Now, I want to show you what Jesus said about unity. This is what Jesus said about unity. He said, but he, knowing their thoughts, he's talking about the religious people. And they were trying to, saying he's casting out demons because he's works for Satan. I'm paraphrasing all this. Verse 17, he says, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. That's what Jesus said. So basically what he's saying, when you're not in unity, he's like, I'm in unity with my Father, is who I'm in unity with. And he said, and so he says, when we're divided, you're laid waste, and a divided household falls. And here's the, so we don't want to be in disunity, guys. I hope you're catching that. Is everybody catching that? All right, don't be in disunity. I feel like there's, you know, I told Jada as we were praying on the way here this morning, I feel like there's some families here that need to get back in unity. Do whatever it takes, amen, to get back in unity. And we'll get there in just a second. I'm going to hopefully help you a little bit there because I know about in-laws. In-laws or outlaws? No, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. Okay, here's the deal. Unity is a gift from God. Look at somebody say, unity is a gift from God. All right. The reason why I say that is because unity is not something you can manufacture. If we could, then what we see in our nations, people in our nation right now, people could get along. They're not getting along. It's a heart issue. And everybody said, if you don't think... And I'm just going to say this because I know this is going on in our nation right now. I'm just going to get to the bottom line. Racism is a sin. It's an absolute sin. There's brown people, there's black people, and there's white people. There's more brown people on the earth than there is white people. Some white people, some ignorant white folk need to hear that. Amen. If you don't think racism is here in this community, I didn't know it. I love this example that Robert Morris uses. And by the way, I'm going to say this. There's a message that I would love. I posted on social media, but I would love everybody to go listen to it. It's called A Lack of Understanding, and Pastor Robert Morris taught about racism, and it's one of the best messages I've ever heard. But in that message, he used this as an example. And I know we don't have cameras here, but you all can tell this is an Ozarka water bottle, right? And so he held it up like that, and he was asking everybody in the congregation, said, what do you see? And they said, we see Ozarka. He goes, I don't see that. And he was like, I see you can get Ozarka delivered to your home. You know, he's like, I don't see the Ozarka. He goes, the only way I can see what you see is if I walk around to the other side. And here I am, a white man. I didn't think that we had any problem here in Leedy. And somebody clued me in, and it's our church secretary. Her name's Patricia. And she said, oh, Mark, there is. It's here. And it caused me to walk around and see it from her point of view. And she taught me some things. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Lord, help us all. It's racism is a sin. Racism is a sin. And we need to stop it. And it would really got a hold of me. And I know I can tell by the quietness in here, you know, because I was a ignorant white boy until I walked around from her point of view and saw it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Patricia, I'm so sorry. You know, saying sorry for what other people have done to her and said to her and treated her and that, the way they've treated her. And we've got to stop it, guys. We've got to stand up for stuff like that. United we stand. Amen. And unity is a gift from God. It's not something you can manufacture. It's a heart issue. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12 says, the hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of God. So here they are. They're taking this. The hand of God was upon them. I'm just going to read this out of a few translations out of 2 Chronicles. It says, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12, out of the NIV, it says, also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered following the word of the Lord. I'm hoping you're seeing whenever they got in unity and one accord, and then the hand of God was upon them, and it was helping them. And then I'm going to read out of the message. It says, God worked powerfully among them to make it unanimous responding to the orders sent out by the king and his officials, orders backed by the word of God. Now we're going to switch gears here for just a little bit, because I know that there's sometimes you're like, man, Mark, I've tried to live in unity with some people, and it's hard to do. I understand that. I've had those kind of people too. I think we all have. And so I love what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. If you'll study the Apostle Paul's life, he had some things that we all think, you know, yeah, he was an apostle and he did great things and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, but he had disagreements. He had disagreements with Peter, had disagreements with John Mark. That's all. You need to study that out. But in the midst of all that, he says this. Ephesians 4, verse 3, says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He says, make every effort to do that. Romans 12, verse 18, Apostle Paul again, he says, if possible, sometimes we're like, Lord, it's impossible. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Okay? You know, I've had this talk with Dusty a few times because of the stuff that's going on in our nation, because you know, we're out here in rural western Oklahoma, and I said, Dusty, are we going to see a time? I mean, I want to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I want to be, if it's possible, so it depends on you, live peaceably with all. But I said, but am I going to see something in my generation where we're going to have to really rise up? Amen? Has anybody else thought that, or is it just me? But we have to be in unity. United we stand. United we stand. Unity, what I'm trying to get across, yes, it's a gift from God, but for us to maintain it, we're going to have to make every effort. We're going to have to, if it depends on us, we're going to have to live peaceably with all. Unity takes work. It takes work in your marriage. It takes work in your family. It takes work in your business. It takes work in the church. It takes work in the government. It takes work in our nation. Unity takes work. All right, here's the last passage of Scripture that I'm going to share with you today. And this is where I'm going to break it down and help us get kind of life application here. And this is out of Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. And outside of salvation, the number one topic, this is very interesting. Outside of salvation, the number one topic that the Apostle Paul taught on, and I encourage you to go read all of his letters to the churches, the number one topic that he taught on was unity. Everywhere he went. Church at Ephesus and Ephesians, what I just read out of Ephesians 4:3, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, everywhere he went, Philippians, what we're just fixing to read, he was teaching them about staying in unity. In fact, the book of Philippians is he's encouraging them, guys, we need to stay in unity. God started a great work here in Philippi, but you guys are starting to get in disunity, and if you don't stop it, God's Spirit's going to depart. And so he's correcting them. In fact, here's my sermon in a sentence, and it comes from the whole book of Philippians. If you can sum up Philippians with this one sentence: only in Christ are real unity and joy possible. We'll say that again. Only in Jesus Christ are real unity and joy possible. And in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, this is where the Apostle Paul is correcting the church at Philippi, and he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. He's basically, that's a big, long definition. You guys, stop it and get in unity, is what he's saying. So only in Jesus Christ are real unity and joy possible. Now, I'm going to break this down in Philippians there. Verse 1, he gives us in verse 1 the motive for unity. And so it says, therefore, if any... Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. And he starts giving but what he's saying there in verse 1, the motive for unity. I'm going to read it out of this translation that I have back up there, the NIV. He says, therefore, if any Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He's basically saying the motive for unity has to come from your salvation. Or you're not saved. Amen? I'll just say it like that. If you've really got Jesus in your heart, Jesus is going to put that motive in you to, we got to get in unity. Now, you may stick your heels in the sand and have that pride and stubbornness. Am I talking to anybody in here when you're married and say, I'm not changing, she needs to change. You know, and then she's over there going, I don't need to change, he needs to change. Well, we got to get to the motive, all right? We got to say, okay, we're saved. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. God is my Father. My motive for unity, I have got to get unified. And so the motive for unity is encouragement from being united with Christ, comfort from his love, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, tenderness and compassion, those four things. That's the motive. Whenever you're saved, you know, how many of you have been encouraged by God? That's the motive for you to get back in. I'm going to use Jada. I'm pointing at my wife a lot, and I'm going to use marriage a lot. That's your motive to get back. I've received encouragement from God. I've got to release that encouragement to Jada, so we can't stay in disunity. We can't. That's my motive. That's what's in my heart. Comfort from his love. How many of you received comfort from his love? Okay. He wants to channel that through you. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit, yes. Tenderness and compassion, he wants to flow all of that. That's the motive for unity. He wants to flow that through you to other people to keep that bond of peace. Now, then he says, guys, when I came, y'all were like this, and I'm writing this letter to correct you, and this is number two, the means to unity. And he goes to that list when you read verses 2 through 4. He says, I need you to get back being like-minded, same love, one in spirit and purpose, unselfish, humility, and care for others. And everybody said, I'm going to just use our church for an example. Been pastoring here for 20 years, and I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message, the means to unity, like-minded. That is huge. That is huge, like-minded. When we first started here, I'll just be honest with you, this was my prayer. Lord, send us everybody. We want everybody to come to Harvest Fellowship Church. I've changed my prayers over 20 years. My prayers now are, God, only send the ones that you have called to be here. That's what it comes down to. Because over those 20 years, I'll be honest, and in this, I don't want this to sound bad or anything, because there are people that you go from a church, you're trying to find a home church. I understand that. Jade and I have been there. Where am I going to put my family at? Where are we going to put our home church at? And we've had people come through here, and some people stayed, some people, because they didn't feel like this is the fit for us. That's okay, because that's why there's other churches. You got to find where you're supposed to fit. But over those 20 years, there has been some transfer growth, and what I've learned is I've learned some things over 20 years, is whenever somebody comes from a church where they've been disgruntled and there was disunity and they left because they were in disunity and then they come to this church, that don't work. It doesn't work. And we've seen that over 20 years. You have to come in and say, God, I'm in unity. You know, this is where I feel like you have me, and so this is where we're putting our roots down at. If you come from disunity, it just don't work. And everybody said, amen. Here's the kind of growth that we want. We want to reach lost people that don't know Jesus. And that's our prayer, is that, Lord, send us the ones that Harvest Fellowship Church is to be their church home. All right? The same love. And then he says, one in spirit and purpose, unselfish, humility, and care for others. And here's what happens, guys. That's the means to unity right there. And then this is the last slide. This is what happens. Without unity, the church loses its blessing. Without unity, the church loses its voice. And without unity, the church loses the victory. I'm going to flip it to the positive. With unity, the church is blessed. With unity, the church has a voice. And with unity, the church has the victory. I can't tell you how many times I've ran into people over the 20 years that we've had our church here, but and not just in this community, but I'm talking in other communities and around in my circle of influences, that I've had people tell me, Mark, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church because the one I grew up in or their memory of church is they always fought all the time over all the stupid stuff, and they were always in disunity, and I was just like, I can stay home and get the word. That's the truth, and I can't blame them. I even told them, I don't blame you. But, man, guys, I'm telling you, when a church like ours, and we have fought for this for 20 years, is in unity, people want to be a part of that. People want to be a part of that. They want to be, if you know, even in business, they want to be in a business where people, they don't want the office politics and all that junk going on. They want to be, isn't that right, Travis? Yeah, you know, they want to be in an office that has the unity and one accord, because that's where God's blessings are at. They want to be in a church like that. They want to be in a family like that. They want to be in a marriage like that. And everybody said, amen. That's what I want. And guys, I'm telling you, I take this word home and study it, you know, study out the word unity. But what I said earlier is there's that spirit that's at work in our nation right now, and it's trying to infiltrate itself into every fiber of society, marriage, schools, government, from national down to state to local. I mean, it's just trying its best to get into everything and cause chaos and keep this stirred up. And we as Christians have got to stand up, and we have to stand up united against it, united in prayer. That's the number one way that we're going to break it, is in prayer, but also acting out and doing these things like the Apostle Paul said and doing those. Is this helping everybody? Amen? All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure before we leave today that you are united with Christ. Because I don't know, you know, everybody's situation here, know most of you. But also those that are watching online and those that will be listening to this on the radio. Just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation in Romans 10. This is going to help you unite yourself with Christ. In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want Jada to come up here with me, and we're going to speak this blessing over you guys that I was talking about out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. So I want you to stand up. If you have your spouse, your family, join hands there with them. And I want to speak this blessing over you guys. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and with peace that surpasses all understanding. Unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, united we stand. United. Yes.